Lake, you wouldn't have guessed it. To everyone else, she looked poor, like trailer trash. She tried to give a fake laugh. Yep. Vincent took another deep breath. Listen, Lake, I made a mistake last night kissing you. Lake's heart began to beat out of her chest. Is that why you wanted to take me home? When he didn't respond, she had her answer. Lake could have sworn her heart broke in that moment. Don't cry in front of him. Don't cry in front of him. Lake, I'm sorry. Don't be. I'm the one who should be sorry for letting you take my first kiss. She wanted to make sure he understood what it meant to her. She was ready to get the fuck out of there, so she threw open her door, set to jump out. Wait! Vincent grabbed her arm before she could escape. Lake stared at his hand around her, then glanced up to his eyes, praying he would say something to make it all better. You didn't tell Adeline, did you? If her heart hadn't been broken before, it officially was right then. She snatched her arm back from his grasp and kept her gaze steady. No, because as far as I'm concerned, nothing fucking happened to tell. Lake got out of the car and slammed the door shut, coming to one conclusion. Vincent Vitali is dead to me. Chapter 8. Run. Run while you can. Fuck! Vincent squeezed the steering wheel as hard as he could to keep reminding himself to stay the hell in the car and not go after her. When Lake went into the house, he reluctantly started pulling out of the driveway. Something inside of him felt as if he had just made the biggest mistake of his life. He was only making mistake after mistake lately, and they all involved Lake. He didn't know how the hell this fuck-up had happened. Yes, I do. Lake just had to be shaking her ass. That, in turn, made him want to fuck her brains out. But he had fought it all until he had found those birth control pills. Then he had been furious. Should he have been that mad? Probably not. However, it was because he had been jealous that someone could be fucking her instead of him. What? Hell no, I wasn't. Moving on. When he had confronted her about it, she just had to get mad and show him who she really was, which only made his dick harder. So he had kissed her. And it was a mistake. He had told her not to move, because he had been sure if she'd touched him, there wasn't going to be any turning back. And damn if she hadn't pulled his hair. Hell, he hadn't even thought she was going to kiss him back. But that little bit of nothing somehow made his dick about to explode. That's why I told her to go. And there was his real mistake. Vincent had made another mistake by calling the girl from Poison to come over. Yet he had been going crazy. If someone hadn't released his tension, he would have gone upstairs and showed Lake how to really fight. She, of course, had to see the girl leaving. That bothered him, made him mad, and again he wasn't sure why. Every girl knew he fucked around, so why did he care if she did? The way they had bantered during breakfast brought him right back to feeling like he wanted to fuck her. He hadn't wanted the fun to end, therefore he had decided to take her home. He had known the car ride was going to be just as entertaining, although he hadn't thought it was going to be that entertaining. However, all that went down the drain when she said, "When I turn 18, they'll hold no power over me, because I'll be gone." That was when he had understood that whatever was going on between them had to stop. Not only because he knew Lake was different and wouldn't want to only fuck, but also because she wanted nothing to do with the mob, while Vincent wanted everything to do with it. They were on two different planets, in two different galaxies. So, what did he do again? Yep, he made another blunder by telling Lake it was a mistake kissing her. Oh, the irony. When Vincent had grabbed Lake's arm telling her to wait, he had almost tried to fix it somehow. However, seeing the hurt in her eyes, He had known he had to finish it. Vincent was in no way, shape, or form going to become a one-woman man, especially not at the age of 18. Not ever. He felt something beating at his mind, telling him to turn the fuck around. Something didn't feel right to him. His gut was churning, and his mind reeling with what could be wrong. Why doesn't she spend more time with her mom? Vincent knew what it was like to have parents not together. Ever since he could remember, his own parents had been separated. The more he thought about it, it became clear they were in the same situation. His mother marrying Sam, who already had Adeline, and his dad being alone. His time had been split up half and half until he had gone to high school, but that was because of the whole mob thing, not because he felt bad for his dad being lonely. If anything, she should want to stay with her mom more because of the whole mob thing. Vincent ran his hands through his almost dry hair, knowing he was trying to come up with any excuse to turn around. Shit, did I make a mistake? No, you did the right thing. The farther he drove away from Lake, the saner he became. By the time he made it to his father's house, he had wiped Lake clean from his mind. Stepping out of the car was almost like he had hit a clear memory button. Lake quietly closed the front door, praying she could escape to her bedroom unnoticed. Please, God, I beg of you, of all days, this is honestly the one I can't...
Lake, there you are!
Oh, hey, Mom. Lake hugged her mom, who was squeezing her tightly.
Where were you yesterday? How was your first week back at school?
Her mother talked a mile a minute. I heard you were going out with friends, so I figured it would be okay if Adeline and I hung out. Lake had to force a smile.
School was great.
Her mom smiled wide.
Of course it was okay, honey. I'm glad your first week back was great.
She began to look her up and down.
Lake, why must you always wear those old hoodies and jeans? I know you have plenty of clothes.
I just... That reminds me. Look what I brought you.
Her mother dragged her into the living room and picked up the bags beside the couch.
I went to the mall this week and had to pick these up for you.
Great. Thank you, Mom. I can't wait to wear them.
Lake's face started to turn sore from pretending to smile so much.
All right, honey, I have to go. John gave me a bunch of errands to run. I'll see you later tonight.
No, 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 no. Oh, you're leaving already?
Yeah, I'm sorry. You know how John gets when he wants something.
Unfortunately, all too well.
Her mother kissed her on the cheek.
Bye, honey. I love you.
Love you too, Mom.
Sadly, Lake didn't have to fake that. She did love her mom, because at the end of the day, she was her mother. She squeezed her eyes shut and began to pray again as her mother walked out the front door.
Get your fucking ass in here!
She heard the man yell in the other room.
Run. Run while you can.
I said, get your fucking ass in here!
That time, the yell was louder. Lake reluctantly moved her feet and headed for the den.
You have to. You don't have a choice.
She walked into the room and saw the huge TV screen playing football then. All of a sudden, it was paused. Her eyes traveled to the recliner holding a grubby, older man.
Are you a fucking retard or something? I yelled for you twice.
Sorry, I...
He started mocking her.
She
heard cackling in the doorway and turned to see Ashley.
From my understanding, you didn't come home yesterday because you didn't want to be here while your mom was gone. So I made sure she'll be gone all day,
he said. Lake shook her head.
No, I had already...
He sat up in his chair, about to get up.
Don't you lie.
Lake nodded, closing her mouth. He pointed his finger right at her, his face turning evil.
Your mom is gone, so now you're mine. Clean this fucking house from top to bottom and do what trailer trash does best. Save me some of my goddamn money your mom likes to spend.
He sat back in his chair.
Daddy,
Ashley sweetly said. He flipped Lake off.
And I heard what you did to Ashley at school. So once my house is clean, write her English paper.
Lake swallowed the little bit of pride she had left.
Yes, John.
Chapter 9. The Evil Stepsister and the Revolting Old Man. Lake grabbed the bags off the living room couch, holding tightly to the clothes her mother had bought her. She was dripping in sweat, and her body was going to give out at any second. The hardest part of the gruesome day hadn't been cleaning the huge 5 bedrooms and 5.5 bathrooms. No, it had been holding her tears in. If John or Ashley saw them, they would call her a fucking baby and add more work. However, the real reason she refused to let them see her crying was because she was sure they got off on it, and Lake wasn't going to let them win that one. She started going up the huge staircase, then down the hall to the right. At first, she thought she wasn't going to make it past all the doors to the end, but when she did, she almost burst into tears.
"Where the hell do you think you're going with those?"
Ashley came up behind her and snatched the bags out of her hand, so hard Lake ended up falling on her hands and knees.
"Don't cry. Don't you cry."
"Trashy girls don't get to wear pretty dresses. You know that."
Ashley began to walk away, cackling.
"And don't forget my paper, bitch."
Lake watched Ashley disappear down the hall, her eyes finally beginning to water. She looked up at the ceiling through the wetness to see the white string hanging. It appeared to be 1,000,000 miles away. It might as well have been on the moon, though, because Lake had no strength left. A tear rolled down her cheek.
"Get up."
She used the back of her hand to wipe the tear off her face.
"Get up. Now."
Lake used every bit of strength she had left in her body to push off the floor. That time, when she looked up at the string dangling from the ceiling, it no longer rested on the moon, but the earth. She knew she had only one shot to jump up and grab it. Otherwise, the string would become a pendulum, and she wasn't going to be able to stand up long enough for it to stop. She closed her eyes and took a deep breath before she jumped up and grabbed the string with a tight grip, opening the hole in the ceiling. She continued to pull the string until the folded wooden stairs appeared. Then she quickly unfolded them. Lake stared up at the steep stairs. She was so close. As soon as she climbed the first step, her eyes welled up again.
"Climb."
More tears fell with each step she took.
"Climb, climb, climb."
Before she knew it, she had reached the attic floor. Her tears kept flowing as she crawled toward the simple mattress on the ground. The moment her body hit the bed, she was out cold. Lake piled noodles on the 2 plates, then added marinara sauce on top. Picking up the plates, she headed toward the table and set them down in front of John and Ashley.
"About fucking time. I thought it would just take 5 seconds to cook for trailer trash. Isn't that all you people can afford?"
John said. Knowing it was a rhetorical question, Lake kept her mouth shut, no matter how much she wanted to open it. Then she started to head off to finish her chores, even though her stomach was growling. She was only allowed to eat what John and Ashley couldn't consume. When she got close to the doorway, her mother walked in with a big bag of to-go food. Her mom walked over to the table and set down the bag.
"John, I called and told you an hour ago I was bringing home dinner."
He put on a smile.
"Ashley didn't know and decided to cook dinner. I didn't want to upset her, but you know I can definitely eat both."
"Aw, Ashley, that is so sweet of you. And you had time to clean the house, too? Thank you."
Ashley's smile widened.
"You're welcome."
"Honey, are you going to come sit down?"
Her mom waved toward her. Lake walked toward the table and took a seat. She watched John and Ashley push their hardly touched plates of spaghetti away as they grabbed the to-go bag.
John
coughed, restarting and pointing toward Lake.
She has something she wanted to talk to you about. I didn't agree at first, but she talked me into it.
What is it, honey?
Her mother turned to look at her. Lake's eyes went to John's mad-looking face.
Go on. Tell your mother.
His voice didn't match the way his face looked, but that was for her mother's benefit.
Well, I was wondering if it would be okay if I could move my room to the attic.
Why would you want to do that?
Her mother looked confused. Lake shrugged.
I don't know. I just thought it would be pretty cool.
How would you even get any furniture up there?
I'll give the gardener $100 to take care of it. She only needs a mattress and desk up there. Think about it. We could turn her room into a gym, and I know you've been wanting me to get back in shape,
John said while he hit his gut.
Well, if you're sure, honey.
She put a smile on her face.
Yeah, Mom, I'm sure.
Her mother grabbed the remaining contents in the bag and handed them to Lake.
Look what I got. Your favorite.
Lake's stomach growled in happiness that it was finally going to be fed, and by her favorite grub at that.
I don't think she's that hungry anymore. You should have seen the big plate of spaghetti she ate. She doesn't need to get any bigger.
John laughed, pretending he meant the last part as a joke.
So full you can't even eat one bite?
Her mother smiled. Lake's eyes again went toward John, and his face said it all.
Don't you fucking dare.
Yep, I'm stuffed. Maybe I'll heat it up later after I finish my homework.
Yet again, Lake began walking out of the kitchen with nothing other than her belly rumbling. Lake finally awoke when she realized the sound of her stomach growling wasn't in her dream.
I wish it was just a dream.
Sadly enough, it was her reality. As she sat up in bed, she had no clue how long she had been out by looking out the huge window to the dark sky. She could tell her body was still sore, and the crust in her eyes told her she had fallen asleep bawling. She reached into her jeans pocket and pulled out her cell phone to check the time, finding she had slept until the middle of the night. She was actually happy about it, because the evil stepsister and the revolting old man would be sound asleep. Lake headed downstairs and took her time as she showered in one of the guest bathrooms, then dressed in clean clothes. She even got to make herself a nice, hot breakfast. When she was done, she headed back up to her bedroom to get to work on Ashley's paper. She clicked on the light to illuminate her new bedroom, which was actually better than it seemed. Sure, it was a little sparse, but at least it was safe up there. There was no way anyone wanted to climb those stairs. As a result, at least she could sleep soundly. It was a little on the dark side at night, but the room really was cool with its triangular shape. Every inch was wood from floor to ceiling, and the exposed wooden beams made for a nice touch. She had her mattress, a chair, and a small desk which held an old box computer. She also had an old leather trunk where she put her clothes. She was pretty certain the trunk had come with the house, though. But, all in all, it had everything she needed for 2 days of living. Besides, a hell of a lot of people were turning attics into bedrooms. It's a very hipster thing to do, right? Lake sat down at her desk and turned on the computer. It was going to take 5 minutes for the thing to start up, but it would eventually get there. The paper was going to suck to write. However, the best part was she only had to make sure it was a C-grade paper, because a C for Ashley was like getting an A. Still waiting for the computer to fully start, she couldn't help thinking about how the day had somehow managed to be worse than the previous one. John had given her twice the workload than usual, and her body couldn't physically take it, nor could her mind. She hadn't cried or reacted that way in a good while, and the only thing she wanted to blame it on was the fact that John had worked her to death.
Don't even think about it.
She didn't want to believe she had possibly had a mental breakdown because of Vincent. Lake squeezed her eyes shut, trying to keep the thoughts of Vincent away. She was determined he was going to become dead to her. That was going to be the end of whatever they'd had for not even 24 hours. Just 6 more months. Lake's end of her problems was going to come in June, when she could finally graduate. Then no one, not John, Ashley, or even the mob, could own her. Lake would finally be a free woman. She was determined no one was going to change that either. At last, Lake could see her end in sight, and nothing, nothing was going to come between her and her freedom. Lake shed a happy tear. She could already hear the victory bells ringing. Ding dong, ding dong. Chapter 10. The Story of Vincent and Lake. The next few months felt almost as if someone was flipping through the pages of a book, skimming to the end. Each chapter became a month. Then, before they knew it, they were 6 chapters and finally at the month of June. However, the story of Vincent and Lake had only just begun. Chapter 11. A New Beginning and a Happily Ever After. Lake tapped her finger on the desk as she stared down the clock.
"Earth to Lake, are you even listening?" Adeline snapped her fingers in front of her.
"What?" She turned her head away from the clock, only to look right back at it.
"You do know we have a whole hour left, right? And we need to discuss our plans for this weekend."
That time when Lake turned her head, she kept her focus on Adeline.
"Okay, I'm sorry. So what are the plans for this weekend that I am sure I will have no say in?"
"Oh, Lake, you know me too well. All right, so tomorrow we go to our graduation, of course." Adeline began clapping her hands together with a cheesy smile on her face.
"Then we sit through Vincent's graduation and go to Nero's party. Okay, good talk."
The last sentence came out fast in an attempt to distract Lake from her words.
"Yes, no, and no."
"Really, Lake? What the hell happened between you and Vincent? And don't tell me nothing for the billionth time. I know something did."
"We made out."
"Adeline, I've told you nothing happened. The reason why I don't want to sit through his graduation is because it's going to be hard enough to sit through ours. I also don't want to go to Nero's party because I don't even know him or anyone else who is going to be there for that matter. Since when have I even gone to a party?"
"I'll be there, and that's exactly why we have to go. We haven't been to one party, and this is our last chance to go to one together."
Adeline made a pouting face.
"I'll think about it."
She watched Adeline smile at her before she began to stare at the clock again. Her friend had started to make her feel guilty as soon as Lake had received her acceptance letter to the university 2 hours away. Sure, there was the one in Kansas City, but she had made up her mind long before that she wasn't going there. Picking the next closest university kept everyone happy, and most importantly, her happy. Being only 2 hours away would give her the chance to visit her mother while not having to stay at John's house ever again. Then there were the added bonuses of being able to see her father and Adeline whenever she pleased. Oh, and being far enough away from the mob. But Adeline was trying to force her into going to Vincent's graduation. She was certain it was going to be an absolute nightmare, since graduations lasted a million years and were completely boring. She pretended the fact that she hadn't seen Vincent since she had gotten out of his car didn't play a role into why she didn't want to see him walk or go to Nero's party. Lake knew, without a doubt, Vincent was going to be there, and the last place she wanted to see him was at a party. She had been successful in pretending Vincent was dead, choosing to only remember him up until the day he had kissed her. Truthfully, Lake was scared of seeing him again, and she planned to avoid what it felt like to be in his presence forever.
"Okay, now quit thinking about him already."
Lake drew her attention back up to the clock, not able to believe it was real. Any second, she should hear, "Ting!" That was it. The victory bell she had been waiting for. She had imagined the sound to be way better than that.
But who cares?
So, Lake, how does it feel to officially be a high school graduate?
Adeline asked, getting up from her desk. Smiling, Lake stood up.
Pretty damn good.
Lake was determined it was going to be a new beginning and a happily ever after from there on out.
Would they fucking hurry already?
Vincent waited down the hall from the art room with Amo and Chloe. The two were arguing about God only knew what.
I'm going to hurry their asses up, Vincent mumbled, knowing they wouldn't hear him.
He started to walk down the hallway, wondering how the fuck one semester could change everything. All throughout high school, he had fucked almost every girl in Legacy Prep, but he hadn't fucked one in months. Vincent had one girl to blame all that on, too. Elle Buchanan. Honestly, it was a whole other story, but the short version was she happened to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. Then the boss had given Nero the job of finding out what she knew. Along the way, Nero had needed his and Amo's help, and lucky for them, Elle had come with a best friend, Chloe Masters. They had found out the two friends were sickeningly bullied at school, and instead of fucking all the girls his last months in high school, he had been paying them back for every fucking thing they had ever done to the two girls. Admittedly, he had enjoyed it. A lot. It wasn't like his balls were blue. He merely started proudly fucking public school girls instead. Despite his lack of blue balls, he definitely wasn't getting off like he used to. Vincent fucked longer and harder, and still he was hard. He began to fuck more and more girls, trying to satiate his appetite, but sleep ended up coming before satisfaction. Then Vincent had begun to prefer fucking them from behind so he didn't have to look at their face. He decided to blame Elle for ruining all high school girls for him. One thing was for sure, his last semester had taught him something high school girls are fucking bitches. Vincent went into the art room to find it empty. Looking at the door in the back, he began to smile. He quietly started walking toward it, hearing noises coming from behind the door. Leaning against a table facing the door, he decided to wait. It wasn't much longer before the door flew open.
"I'm upset I wasn't invited,"
Vincent said, watching Nero come out of the art supply closet, zipping up his pants as Elle buttoned her shirt. The strawberry blonde tried to run back inside the closet, but Nero caught her hand and pulled her toward him. Vincent winked at her.
"No need to be shy, sweetheart."
Elle covered her face with her hand.
"I can't believe you talked me into that, Nero. I won't let you do that again."
"I swear to God, Vincent, I'm going to pay you back for all your bad timing," Nero said.
He started laughing.
"Come on, man. It's the last day of school. You two aren't going to see that closet again. There's a million other closets you two can..."
Nero held up his hand.
"Vincent, shut the fuck up right now."
"I will, if you two are done, so I can get the fuck out of here." "Oh my God,"
Elle whispered into Nero's shoulder as he pulled her along.
"Don't worry, sweetheart. You weren't the closet's first. I was in there freshman year."
"You're not helping,"
Nero hissed. Vincent laughed, deciding to stop giving Elle such a hard time. He didn't have a choice, really. If he kept going, Nero was going to kick his ass. They had all grown fond of her and Chloe. Hell, because of them, he, Nero, and Amo had all become soldiers. Being a soldier in the Caruso mob was the best and last thing which had changed that semester. When they reached the end of the hallway, Elle ran to Chloe's side. Vincent watched the two girls laugh side by side as they started to walk toward the school parking lot. He knew Nero and Amo couldn't stop staring at the two either. The girls had come a long way, and they all felt responsible for them.
"What the fuck is wrong with you? You're being a pussy."
He was done having a moment.
"You all need to come to my sister's graduation tomorrow."
"Fuck no. I ain't sitting through two,"
Amo retorted. Nero kept his eyes on Elle.
"As much as I don't want to go either, we all have to. She's family."
"That reminds me, is Adeline's friend going to Nero's party?"
Amo asked Vincent.
"I don't know, maybe," he shrugged.
"Fuck, I hope her hot ass will be there. What's her name again?
Vincent's hands wanted to rip his throat out, even though he had no feelings toward her.
Lake.
He wasn't prepared for it to come out as a growl. Chapter 12. Getting whacked on graduation day would really suck. Lake scanned the bleachers around the whole gymnasium.
Where the hell is she?
When her eyes met her father's, he gave her a comforting smile. She desperately tried not to look at the goons beside him, but the whole Caruso mob took up half the damn bleachers on that side. She knew because it was nothing except a sea of black suits. She looked down at her phone again to see if she had any messages.
Nothing.
Lake went into her messages and sent a text.
Where are you?
When Lake raised her head back up to the man talking on the stage, she had to swipe away the tassel hitting her in the face. The man was about to start calling their names at any second, and it was making Lake even more nervous. She really wished the seats weren't assigned alphabetically, so she and Adeline could sit together. She started to almost feel out of place as she glanced around.
I never knew high school gyms like this even existed, only in college.
Their high school's graduation ceremony was always held at Legacy Prep High, due to budgeting reasons. The public schools got a free place to hold the ceremony, and Legacy Prep saved money by having it in their gym.
The school system really knows how to go all out.
Scanning the bleachers again, her eyes rolled over the black sea once more, but that time her eyes were caught by a pair of baby blues she hadn't seen in 6 months. He looked different to her, like he had in that moment when he had rolled up his sleeves in poison. Vincent had somehow grown more handsome, more mature, and she couldn't quite put her finger on what was making him look that way. Her body started to respond to him again as his gaze held her prisoner. She began to wish she was closer to him to see his changes up close. Buzz. Lake nearly jumped out of her seat when her hand began vibrating. She didn't think she could be any more embarrassed or flustered for that matter.
Why, God, why did you make him so perfect?
She felt like the whole dead thing was seriously being thrown out the window. Looking down at her phone, she read her new text.
John got sick. I am so sorry, honey. I'll make it up to you. I love you.
Lake squeezed her phone as hard as she could, trying to keep from crying. She had known when her mother hadn't showed in the first 5 minutes that she wasn't coming. She had already had a feeling it was all John's fault. John had no reason to be there since Ashley was a junior, and he sure as fuck wasn't coming for his stepdaughter. Lake hit the button to reply.
It's okay. I love you too, Mom.
It seemed like no matter what, she couldn't help the fact that she did love her. Her mother was family. There was nothing else to it. Hearing the first name read, she put her phone away. As the names went farther down the list, she couldn't help thinking about how John had managed to ruin one of the most monumental moments in her life. Regardless, she decided to try to push it out of her mind as her best friend in the whole wide world waited on the steps to be called next. Lake was already primed to clap and cheer.
Adeline Ritchie!
Yay, what the...
Lake's attention was drawn to the men in black packed onto the bleachers. They were yelling, clapping, and whistling so loud she thought her eardrums were going to break. She couldn't help laughing at the goons for making such a scene, and clapping along as Adeline retrieved her diploma. It wasn't much longer before Lake found herself waiting on the steps for her name to be called. She honestly wasn't nervous anymore. Her dad was the only one who was going to be paying any attention to her, so her nerves were finally gone. The man spoke into the microphone.
Lake!
She took her first step onto the stage.
Turner!
Lake's walking slightly slowed from shock as she heard another roar come from the suits, so much so she had to keep telling herself to keep walking. When she took the diploma into her hands, she put on a smile for the camera, then went straight back to her confused face.
Why would they do that for me?
Walking to the other side of the stage, she could finally look at the men cheering for her. Every one of them was standing, and every one of them was clapping. A smile began to touch her lips as she watched a couple of them hit her father's shoulder in congratulations. When she got back to her seat, she realized she had completely forgotten that someone important was missing when she had been walking across the stage. Thankfully, the ceremony didn't last much longer. Before Lake knew it, it was her turn to sit in the bleachers. The day before, she hadn't wanted to, but after seeing them all cheer for her, "It's the least I can do." After they hugged their parents, Adeline started leading her to the middle of the bleachers. On the way, they received many nods from the men. It was their way of congratulating them. One of those nods had her freezing in place, however. She knew exactly who the man was when she met his ice-blue eyes. There was no doubt about it. He was the boss, Dante Caruso. The man had an air about him, a don't-fuck-with-me vibe, while being classy at the same time. He was chillingly dark, yet she found him way too handsome for an older man. Lake quickly nodded back, though not out of politeness.
Nope, it's because getting whacked on graduation day would really suck.
Squeezing through the crowd, Adeline finally stopped by a girl who almost took Lake's breath away. The girl was drop-dead gorgeous, with shiny gold hair, like an angel or a goddess.
Oh my god, she is like the girl version of Vincent.
Congratulations, Adeline!
The gorgeous girl stood to give her friend a hug. She was even tall, wearing a pale blue dress which showed her perfect body. Lake thought she was going to go blind any second by her beauty.
Thank you,
Adeline responded, hugging her back. After the hug, she turned to Lake.
Lake, this is Nero's sister.
Hi, I'm Maria. Congratulations.
She pulled Lake into a hug, too.
Jesus, she's incredibly nice, too.
Lake gave her a hug back.
Thank you.
Maria, when are you going to learn that people don't like to hug?
A younger male voice said.
Sorry, I've been trying to work on it.
Maria pulled away. Lake laughed.
No, it's okay. You shouldn't stop being nice.
Everyone went quiet around her and started to stare. The young male's voice returned.
Did she say nice? No one has ever called a
Maria hit his shoulder.
This is my youngest brother, Leo, who likes giving me a hard time.
Leo held out his hand.
Nice to meet you, Lake.
Who the hell did these people descend from?
The dirty blonde boy was already a charmer and way too good-looking for his age. She figured he was early in his high school years, but he was definitely much better-looking than the seniors in her school. Lake shook his hand back.
Nice to meet you too, Leo.
They all quickly sat back down as the second ceremony started to begin. Lake was relieved by the distraction because she didn't understand what she had said to make everyone gawk at her. Out of the corner of her eye, Lake thought someone was still staring at her. Stupidly, she looked at the row behind her to see a man she really wished she hadn't. Her head snapped forward as chills ran down her spine.
Fuck, fuck, fuck that guy.
She didn't know who he was, nor did she ever want to know. Lake was going to keep her head forward. Under no circumstance did she ever want to see his crazy eyes again. Surprisingly, she didn't dare look back throughout the whole beginning of the ceremony.
I need to run to the restroom,
Maria whispered in Adeline and Lake's direction. As Lake turned her legs with Adeline's for her to pass, she saw Maria turn around, then whisper to the guy behind her, and damn if it wasn't the guy who scared her shitless. As Maria stood up and began to quietly squeeze through, Lake watched two guys start to follow behind. One of them was the scary guy who was staring at her.
Oh my god, does Maria seriously have bodyguards?
Lake was honestly starting to feel like she was missing something, so she thought carefully about whether a girl really needed a bodyguard.
Psst, no, that's crazy. I bet they won't even come back with her.
If they did, that meant they were her bodyguards.
But they're not.
That thought didn't stop Lake from sitting on the edge of her seat and staring down at the door Maria had just walked out. Chapter 13. The Mob Princess of Kansas City. Opening her small envelope purse, she grabbed her favorite angel lipstick tube from the bottom. Looking in the mirror, she swiped it over her plump lips, then rubbed them together. Happy with the results, she put the tube back in her purse. She started to run her finger through her curls, giving her legs more time to stretch.
"I'm sure he wants to finish his cigarette anyways."
She laughed, thinking about how he'd had it halfway lit before he had walked out the door. Fiddling for another minute, she decided it was time to go out before the other one knocked down the girl's bathroom door. She grabbed her purse, then put one pump in front of the other and swung open the door.
"Shit! Goddamn!"
The cursing from the deep voice trailed off as the man started mumbling to himself. She quickly dropped her purse and touched a man's arm, which was raised, his hand holding the side of his face.
"I am so sorry. Are you okay? I completely forgot these doors fly open like that."
Hearing the muffled laughter, she shooed her watchdog away to go laugh somewhere else.
"Yeah, yeah, I'm fine."
He said it like he was trying to shoo her away as well.
Dang, I hit him really hard. "Are you sure you're okay? Here, let me see."
She grabbed his wrist with her other hand so she could assess the damage she had done to his face.
"I said..."
he began harshly as he dropped his hand from his face to look at who had almost knocked his brains out. Looking at her, he lost his train of thought. It took him a moment before he could clear his throat to change his tone.
"I'm fine, really,"
he smiled at her. She stared helplessly up at him, her eyes unwilling to move away. She had been around countless good-looking men since she was born, but he was a different kind of handsome altogether. He had blondish brown hair which was cut almost to his scalp and traveled down to his short-kept beard. The eyes, though, were what she couldn't quit staring at. They looked like liquid gold. Feeling his strong arm under her hands, she realized his body definitely wasn't bad either.
"Oh, gosh."
She quickly pulled her hands away from him, trying not to smile in embarrassment from touching him longer than she should have. She finally moved her eyes away from him.
I'm sorry. I feel terrible that I hit you." "Did I just stutter?"
Being flustered in front of men was something which never happened to her.
"It's really okay. It was my fault. I usually walk farther away from the door, but my mind was somewhere else."
She smiled back at him. It made her feel instantly better to hear his genuine apology.
"There's no mark yet, but I hope it doesn't bruise on you."
"If it does, it wouldn't be the first."
He started to lean down to the floor.
"Here, let me get that for you."
She watched him pick her purse off the floor and felt his gaze on her brand new nude pumps she had pulled out of the box that morning. Her body slightly tingled as his eyes rolled over her coming up.
"Thank you, Christian Louboutin."
He held her purse out, and when she grabbed it, she noticed the size of his hand spanned the whole purse, making her touch it.
"Thank you."
Her hand began to also tingle when she slid it out of his.
"You're very welcome."
She swept her gold hair behind her ear, smiling.
"Maria."
Their heads turned when the front glass doors flung open with a thud.
"Here we go,"
she thought, as the man coming through quickly closed the distance between them.
"This is my brother."
She watched something flash in the handsome man's gold eyes.
"Luca Caruso."
Her brother held out his hand.
"Kane Evans."
He took Luca's hand, shaking it.
"I teach English here."
"He's a teacher. How come I never got teachers who look like that?"
Maria looked at their hands. Kane's grip matched Luca's, not to mention he could shake his hand while looking Luca straight in the eye. She could tell that was really starting to piss Luca off, considering not many men could, let alone an English teacher. Luca finally let go of his hand.
English, huh? You don't seem like the teaching type.
And you don't seem like the type who would listen when I said there is no smoking on school grounds, Kane said.
Oh, no.
Maria tried to brace herself. Luca reached into his pocket and pulled out his pack of cigarettes. Grabbing a stick, he put it between his lips, then began to talk as he held it there.
Considering I never listened years ago when I was here.
He flicked open his Zippo and lit the end before taking a long, deep hit, then blowing out the smoke, making sure it hit Kane in the face.
I'd say you're right, Teach.
Well, I'm glad we know our roles here. Now, if you'll excuse me, my students are about to graduate.
Kane then smiled at Maria.
It was nice meeting you, Maria.
It was nice meeting you, too.
Maria tried to keep from blushing and staring into the molten gold of his eyes.
Luca,
Kanye said as he passed him.
Kane,
Luca returned as he dropped the butt on the floor, stepping on it.
Well, that could have gone worse, she thought, as she watched Kane walk down the hallway. Damn if his walk wasn't somehow sexy.
What the fuck, Sal?
Luca roared when Sal came back around the corner.
Sorry, she fucking drilled him right in the face with the door. I couldn't quit laughing.
While Maria closed her eyes, feeling bad all over again, Sal began laughing once more, clearly replaying what had happened in his mind. Luca wrapped his arm around his sister, dragging them back to the gym.
What have I told you about hitting harder?
Lake watched Maria walk through the door again.
I knew it.
A second after that, though, the two men walked through the door, staying close behind.
Holy shit, they are bodyguards.
A million thoughts ran through her head as she watched them walk up the bleachers. She had no clue who she was sitting by. She only knew she didn't want to sit next to her. Clearly, anyone worth guarding must be a target.
I don't want to be next to a freaking target.
Get ready to scream. Nero's next,
Adeline whispered to her. Lake swallowed at thinking about Maria, feeling as if at any second rounds of bullets were going to be shot in her direction. She looked around, seeing everyone preparing to jump up and down, and then she realized they were surrounded by the mob C. Whoever the girl was, she was pretty fucking important. She heard the man come back over the microphone.
Nero!
Lake put her weight to her feet to stand.
Caruso!
You have got to be shitting me.
She blinked her eyes over and over as she listened to the howling. She couldn't see anything except black standing in front of her because she couldn't quite make it to her feet. Lake looked over at the tall golden blonde who was practically royalty. It all finally made sense, and she knew exactly who Maria was.
The mob princess of Kansas City.
Chapter 14. Staring into the Eyes of a Demon. Lake sat uncomfortably in the bleachers, unable to stop fidgeting. Adeline was going to get a nice piece of her mind when they were alone, since she deliberately hadn't said who they were.
She has got to be shitting me if she thinks I'm going to Nero's party.
It wasn't much longer before they all stood to their feet to cheer for the big guy, Amo. All she had left to do was cheer for Vincent, and then she could get the fuck out of there. Lake couldn't take her eyes off Vincent as he came closer and closer to having his name called. She just wished she was nearer to the stage. He was so different from before, and she desperately wanted to see it up close.
Stop it.
Lake's knees were bouncing up and down at that point. She needed to get out of the confined space next to all those suits. It was also Vincent she needed to get away from, though. If she kept watching him for much longer, she was sure to fucking lose her marbles.
"Vincent Vitali,"
the guy spoke into the microphone. Lake stood, clapping as the men began their howling. The sound of more whistling and screaming drew her attention away from Vincent. She looked around the gym and saw countless girls wailing at the top of their lungs, each one trying to scream louder than the other to gain his attention. That wasn't it, though. Older women were even whistling and screaming along with them. Unable to take the torture any longer, she began to squeeze past the men and out of the bleachers. She tried her best to quickly exit the gym without breaking into a sprint. However, when she passed a blonde mother with her huge fake boobs screaming and jumping over her daughter, she ran. Lake slammed open the doors, letting the fresh air hit her face. Breathing heavily, she sat down on a bench. She wasn't quite sure why she was out of breath, yet decided to blame it on the run and not the fact that she might have actually been having a panic attack. She began taking deep breaths, trying not to picture all those girls going into heat after hearing Vincent's name. It was hard to pinpoint a single thought, since so many were flying through her head. Why were they acting that way? Did he know them all? How did he know them? Why do I even care? Oh, my g- Lake's head snapped toward the school entrance when she heard the door being thrown open. She sucked in a breath and just as quickly snapped her head back. Please, please go away. Do you mind? A dark voice spoke. Lake swallowed, then met the crazy man's eyes again. Yes, I do. Shaking her head, she scooted as far as she could to the end of the bench. Looking out of the corner of her eyes, she saw him sit and pull a cigarette and lighter from his pocket. He quickly lit the end with his Zippo before taking in a long drawl. Why did you run out of there? Lake nervously bit her lip. I didn't. Darling, I really wouldn't try to deny it when you were the only girl in there running in the opposite direction of him. Shit. Lake finally looked over at him, regretting it immediately when she stared into the dangerous blue-green eyes. Seeing him so closely, he looked much different than the other suits. Hell, he wasn't even wearing one. Instead, he only wore dark slacks and a shirt. By the way, he didn't button his black shirt all the way up. It was almost as if he didn't like wearing the clothes. Not only that, but he had a scruffy beard and well-past shaggy hair which he kept slicked back. Finally, she figured out why he made the hair stand up on her arms. Sure, he was dangerous like the other suits, but the man didn't try to even hide it behind expensive Italian suits and ties like them. Made men were thugs dressed as millionaires, all except for this one. She only wondered exactly who he was to be able to get away with looking like that. I probably really don't want to know. She contemplated running from him as well, yet thought better of it when she imagined what he would do to her if she dared. She took another deep breath. I was just feeling claustrophobic is all. Hurriedly, she tried to take the attention away from her. You didn't want to finish the ceremony? Fuck no. They're lucky I made it to the V's. He took another hit, then let the smoke roll past his lips, uncaring if it hit her in the face. Now, Lake, why did you really run? Excuse me? Do I know you? That had sounded better in her head. Maybe. He gave a sinister smile. Luca Caruso. The underboss. Lake tried to keep her jaw from falling to the floor. She should have known who he was, but she never would have thought someone so high up, let alone the son of Dante, would look like that. It was absolutely clear why he chilled her to the bones. So, you do know me. Luca flicked his cigarette butt to the pavement.
How come you've never come around the family?
Lake stared down at her lap, unable to look at him. Clearly there was no point in lying.
I never really wanted to. I never thought it mattered if I did or not.
Why's that?
He asked.
Because I'm not important. My dad is only a soldier and has never moved up, even after all these years.
Luca began to laugh at her.
You don't know shit, do you?
No, I don't want to know shit about the family, Lake confessed.
She really didn't like being laughed at. Yet seeing the menace in his cold eyes made her wish she could take the words back. Luca leaned down closer to her face.
I don't need to remind you who I am, do I, darling?
Lake swallowed the lump in her throat as she shook her head slowly.
Good.
He leaned back up and took another cigarette out of his pocket, then flicked his Zippo, lighting the end and drawing in his breath.
Now you have the boss who makes all the decisions. His close, trusted friend and confidant is the consigliere. The underboss is second in command. Capos head a crew of soldiers. And lastly, you have associates, who are not members of the family but business acquaintances. Your father is and always will be a soldier, and he has known that from the moment he became one. Only Italian men can become made men and take the omerta. Those who are not will stay soldiers till they die.
Luca shrugged.
That's what Google says, anyways.
Lake thought about his words.
Only Italian men can become made men.
Something about that rule started to piss her off, as if they only saw color. And to make a man who wasn't Italian would taint the family.
I see, she whispered. So no matter how loyal my father has been to your family, he can never be made, because what? His last name is Turner and not Caruso?
I still don't think you do, darling.
Luca quickly grabbed her jaw to face him.
You need to think about which fucking family was here when your name was called.
In that moment, Lake swore she was staring into the eyes of a demon. As he held her captive, she began to pray he would release her, unsure if he even would. She had finally overstepped her boundaries with him. After all, he was no ordinary man. He was quite possibly the most dangerous man in all of Kansas City.
"Why isn't your mother here?"
he demanded.
Her husband is sick.
She managed to finish strong.
Does he have cancer?
Lake closed her eyes, wanting to cry.
No.
Luca finally released his grip on her.
Maybe now you can fucking grasp an ounce of what family means to us.
Rising to his feet, he gave his final words as he flicked his last butt to the pavement.
But then what do I care, darling? You and your father are insignificant to me.
Lake wasn't aware she had been holding her breath until the door came to a close as he vanished. She had barely escaped the demon with her life.
For now, anyway.
Chapter 15. Into the Lion's Den. Lake somehow found herself being pulled up the stairs to the front door.
I am not going in there, Adeline. Do you know who lives here?
She was somehow managing to yell and whisper all at the same time.
Yep.
Adeline quickly lifted her knuckles to knock on the door.
Wait.
Lake swiftly grabbed her hand before it made contact.
You told me this was a party where a bunch of seniors would be getting drunk, not a goddamn gathering of the head of the Kansas City crime family. Trust me, these people are insane. I met that crazy one today, and all he had to do was that flippy thing with his lighter.
Lake tried to mimic the movement with her wrist.
And I practically piss...
The front door opened and Nero appeared. Lake wished she could crawl into a deep, dark hole, and only hoped he hadn't heard that. but the amused look on his face told her otherwise. Adeline tried to break the awkward silence.
Thanks for inviting us, Nero.
You're welcome.
Nero smiled as he opened the door wider for them to enter.
Nice to finally meet you properly, Lake.
She tried her best to smile as they entered the home.
You too.
There's a bunch of pizza in the kitchen, and don't worry, there are seniors here too.
Nero informed them as he left the foyer, still smiling.
Oh, God.
Adeline tried her best not to laugh.
Well, at least that was a step up from the last one you met.
She really wasn't good at making first impressions. Thankfully, Nero wasn't as scary as his older brother, but looking at his emerald eyes, she figured he only needed time.
Yeah, well, you've got 15 minutes, remember?
Adeline dropped her voice.
Seriously, Lake, look at this house. We can't see it all in 15 minutes.
Lake glanced around at the huge foyer with a grand staircase. There was no telling how the rest of the house looked, and they had only taken one step inside.
Fine, 20.
As she moved further in the doorway, she couldn't help feeling like she had been led into the lion's den. As they made their way through, Lake became easily distracted by the extravagant home.
This place is definitely fit for a king.
The huge kitchen connected to the dining room, which connected to the living room, making it feel even more ginormous with the vaulted ceilings. There were quite a lot of people there, and there was still room to spare.
I am so glad you are both here.
Maria quickly gave them each a hug.
Come here, you have to meet my friends.
Lake followed Adeline and Maria through the people to the couch in the living room, which was quieter and a little more secluded than the rest of the house. She noticed the strawberry blonde she had seen that night at Poison.
This is Elle. Elle, this is Adeline and Lake.
Maria introduced them.
Hi.
Elle sweetly smiled, her voice matching her looks.
And this is Chloe.
Maria finished, pointing to the dark-haired girl on the end. Chloe nervously smiled back at them.
Hi.
Lake couldn't help noticing the scars which marked the right side of Chloe's face. One went from a few inches above her eyebrow down her cheek, while the other ran about an inch above and below her lips. Lake could almost see the pain in her shockingly gray eyes.
Hey,
Lake replied when Chloe let her black hair veil the right side of her face. She instantly felt bad for staring, but it wasn't even the scars which had caused it. It was how beautiful she was, even with the markings.
Weren't you the girl at Poison back in January?
Adeline asked. Elle laughed.
Yep, I don't think that was a good night for any of us.
All the girls burst out with laughter, thinking about how that night really hadn't panned out for anyone. Lake and Adeline sat down on the huge leather ottoman in front of the couch, feeling comfortable talking with the girls.
You took Nero back, huh?
Adeline asked, wanting to gossip more than talk. Nero broke in and answered for her.
It took a bit of persuading, but she finally did.
Yes, unfortunately, I did.
Elle teased as Nero leaned over and brushed his lips over hers.
What kind of pizza do you want?
Nero asked Elle. Lake turned her head when another voice greeted her, one she hadn't heard in what seemed like ages. Looking up, she saw the baby blues which would every so often enter only her uncontrollable dreams. Her eyes scanned over him, taking in all the changes she had seen from a distance. Vincent's features had only taken on small ones. He groomed himself a little more immaculately, and his clothes were a little more flawless. However, it was his eyes which had really changed. She could see a different man behind them.
Lake!
Lake!
His words finally interrupted her thoughts.
Huh?
Lake blinked up at him, trying to shake off her stupor.
What?
What kind of pizza do you want?
She turned her head, unable to look at him and talk at the same time.
No thanks. I'm not hungry.
That was a clear lie. She was actually starving from not being able to eat much of anything that day.
Pepperoni or cheese?
It came out as a demand that time. Lake faced him again.
I said I wasn't hung-
Adeline just said you haven't eaten today.
he quietly growled.
They are really sensitive about food.
L laughed, trying to calm the situation.
Just pick one.
Lake had forgotten there was anyone around.
Awesome.
She sweetly smiled up at Vincent.
Since you don't ever give me an option, you pick.
She knew he would understand there was more than one meaning behind that. Vincent's eyes narrowed on her before he left with Nero and Amo.
What did Vincent do after poison when you all got home?
Elle quietly asked.
Nero told me,
she added.
Took my first kiss, screwed another girl, and then took me home where he told me it was all a big mistake.
Lake smiled.
Apparently, he burned our